Whoever picked the lesson for this morning, the gospel text, surely did not get the memo from all the pastors in the world and all the church people in the world who think there's three things you don't talk about in church: sensuality, death, and money. Did you hear the gospel this morning? Okay. But we're going to go through all three of them. So let's pray together about that. Yeah, these are things that we generally don't want to talk about. We're going to start with death. And of course, this dinner that Jesus is at the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, it is surrounded by death. Lazarus dies, remember, just a chapter earlier. And it's not an uncommon death. He gets sick, he gets more ill, and he dies. Like so many people do. The way of all flesh. The only thing that's of interest in that story is that Jesus, Mr. Compassion, had been called to come and help heal Lazarus. And what did he do?
He didn't show up.
There you go. Perfect. Martha couldn't have said it better. Right. He didn't show up. He told his disciples, we're going to stay here for a couple of days and then we'll go. Even though he knew what was going to happen. Well, he did know it was going to happen, didn't he? So when he got there, Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days, and Jesus told them to roll away the stone. You know, you remember the story, right? And he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. He's been raised from the dead. Which is an amazing thing. And now if you are around and you hear this story about a guy who raises somebody from the dead, you're thinking, whoa, this is amazing. And people wanted to go see Jesus, and they did. But that meant that those who were in authority were getting nervous. Because Jesus had done something really important and really kind of political. Because Rome was in charge. And what is the power of Rome if not the power of death? And here's a guy who's challenging the powers of death. And the people in the leadership aren't stupid. They understand if that happens, then they're going to have Rome on their shoulders, on their backs. And so Caiaphas says that famous thing, it is better that one person die than the whole nation be destroyed. And the narrator says, he didn't say that on his own. He said that as a prophecy, that one would die for the sake of all. So that all happens before this meal. Then they invite Jesus and, you know, 12 of his closest friends to come have a meal. And then after that, we hear that not only do they want to get rid of Jesus, but now they're going to kill Lazarus. Just to make sure that people don't follow Jesus. So there we are. We're surrounded by death. And then Mary does this preposterous thing. You know, it's like she doesn't go down to the spices and ointment store. She just goes into the next room and picks up what was there. Now, why would she have that nard there? Because her brother had just died. This was what was left over after they had anointed the body of their beloved brother. But there was some left. So she brings it out. And then she does this incredibly outrageous thing. She lets down her hair in public among a bunch of men, pours ointment on this other, she's single, he's single, there, and she pours it on his feet and takes the hair, her hair, and wipes his feet. This is not done. Okay? I think maybe it's hard for us. No, it's not so hard for us to imagine that. But I guess it might be a little easier if you thought about someone in the religion of Islam doing that, right? That's just that is not done. And that's proper. It's right. It's good. But there she's doing it, and it's so awkward. So awkward. That somebody has to say something. And so Judas opens his mouth and says, he can't say anything about what she's doing, really, right? It's just too embarrassing. So he blurts out, why has this money been wasted? Or why has this ointment been wasted? It could have been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. Oh, whew, that made me feel better. Now I have to think about all this weird stuff going on here. But there it is. And here's the thing about this. The narrator, he tells us the reason that he does this, the reason that Judas does this is because he was concerned about having more money that he could steal more money because he was a thief. Okay, I'm not going to argue with the narrator of the Gospel of John, for heaven's sake. But I also think he did what we all do. This is awkward. This is hard. Let's change the subject. She is doing this prophetic thing, which is reminding everybody that Jesus is going to die. She is anointing his body for burial. And he's just not... And she's doing it in this wild way. And he just can't stand that. So what does he do? He comes up with the thing that he's comfortable with, since he's the treasurer. Why are we wasting money? Do we not do that? I've been, this Lent, I took up the practice of, when people ask me how I'm doing, I tell them, I'm personally, our family's well, everything's fine, but I am deeply grieving the state of the world. Aren't you? And people are like, how am I supposed to respond to that? And the people who, some people will just simply say, oh yes, I am. It's so hard. You know, all the things that are going on in the world. But a lot of people are like, I just want to keep everything positive. That's it. Okay, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. And we all do that. We all, like, let's change the subject. There's been incredible suffering in this world. And we are called to suffer with Jesus, but let's just change the subject and let's be positive and stay positive. Or whatever we do. There's a lot, 100 different ways that we distract ourselves from the suffering that is actually going on that we, as the body of Christ, are called to bring into our own bodies and suffer with. No. We struggle with it. We do. I received a poem a couple of weeks ago, and the line that I don't know if you even have the line exactly right, but it's, this, listen to this. The gist of it is, Jesus is lonely for someone who will hold his gaze. Jesus is lonely for someone who will hold his gaze. Judas will not hold his gaze. He says, this money should have been given to the poor. This is irresponsible. Now, I just have to give you a little parenthesis about that. Jesus says, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Which, in a way, it sounds a little bit like he's saying, you know, you either take care of me or you take care of the poor, in juxtaposition. Not at all. What I think he's saying there, I think he's going out. Judas, I think, is going for Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy 15:11. It says, because there will always be a need in the world, therefore I command you, O Israel, open your hands to the poor and needy among you in your land. Isn't that beautiful? You always have the poor with you, so therefore, always open up your hands. And that's, I think, absolutely the way Jesus sees it, but with a little bit of a twist. And that is, he is saying, you will not always have me. And I think what he's doing there to Judas is saying, please hold my gaze with me. Look at me. Because if you look at me, that's when you will know. That's when the compassion for the poor will pour out. That's the source of your compassion for the poor. Know me, know my sufferings, know my being cast out, and you will recognize me in everybody who is poor and cast out. That's your source. If you're just going to chase after trying to do good for the poor, you're not actually, I don't think you're going to have the resources to do it, the spiritual resources to do it. But look at me and know me and my sufferings, and then you will. You will have what you need to tend to the poor and needy and outcast and despised and your enemies and everyone else that God wants us to tend to. Look at me. Hold my gaze. Know me. So, that's the end of that. I think that was all still parenthetical, but then comes this Mary who anoints Jesus. And Suzanne Guthrie said this about that exchange, this anointing. She said it can boil down to this simple nonverbal communication. Mary anoints Jesus' feet. And in doing that, she says, I know. I know. And Jesus, in his response, says, yes, I know you know. Such incredible intimacy. I know. I've been paying attention. I have heard you. And I am not turning my gaze away. Yes, I might be afraid, but I hear, I know what's going to happen. And I'm going to do what I can, and I will be with you. I know. And Jesus says, I know you know. Oh, that's just beautiful. And it just sums it up. That incredible intimacy, that non-verbal intimacy that fits so beautifully with this story, with what she's done. This prophetic, intimate thing that she's done. She knows. And I think that means that one person anyway has broken through the loneliness and is holding the gaze of Jesus. She's not the only one, though. Because I want to tell you, in the midst of a meal, on Wednesdays, we have this soup supper, right, downstairs. Then we come up here, and we started, and we do Compline. But we've added to Compline this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on your warring people, and turn our swords into plowshares. A simple prayer repeated 25 times in this gathering. And I tell you, it feels during that time that that gathering holds the gaze of Jesus, holds the suffering that Jesus brings into his own body. It's beautiful. It's actually just a stunning, that prayer. And I know that people are actually using that prayer not just on Wednesday, but through the week. It must be, because that gathering becomes so deep and so rich with that prayer. And so we are learning how, tentatively, not always perfectly, learning to hold the gaze of Jesus, who surely is suffering in these days, watching his children war against each other, watching his people angry with one another, watching his people distract themselves in any way they can so that they don't have to grieve and feel the pain of that. Watching the grief turn sideways into anger and hostility for one another. But like Mary after the meal, there is at least one group that gathers and puts aside the distraction and goes right to the heart, holds the gaze of Jesus, and is willing to suffer and to speak out the prayer of healing that we all need. I'm wrong. There's two gatherings, and the second one is today. Today we're going to gather around a meal. The very meal where Jesus breaks the bread and says, "This is my broken body. This is my blood poured out. Will you take it? Will you take it to yourself?" And the answer is yes, we will. And yes, we do. And thanks be to God for this gift. It is a gift that the world so desperately needs. And dare I say, that Jesus desperately needs his people to hold his gaze and to walk with him. I love, guide my feet. Guide my anointed feet. And let us walk with Jesus.